featuring mobile templates, social tools, and concierge services. More at myemma.com.
This is Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now, as he does every Friday morning at this time, to analyze Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
It's apparent that the Republican-controlled Virginia Tobacco Commission was indeed preparing to create a high-paying job for Philip Puckett, who resigned his state Senate seat, resulting in the GOP taking control and passing a budget without Medicaid expansion.
So as Richard Nixon said, or I guess it was Henry Kissinger who said, even paranoids have enemies. It seems that this had been building, this inducement for Philip Puckett to relinquish his Senate seat had been building for some time. And as these emails suggest and reported on the front pages of many papers today, mm-hmm. including the Times Dispatch, that Philip Puckett had a hand in crafting the job description. So what we have here, I think, is maybe a very skimpy fig leaf for the former senator when he says, as he said, that he was never offered a job. Of course, the Democrats said that a lot of Democrats have said that this was nothing more than a quid pro quo to get Puckett out of the Senate, give up his Senate seat in deeply red Southwest Virginia, and tip control of the Senate, the evenly divided Senate, to the Republicans. Now, of course, on top of all of this, we have yet another federal criminal investigation, public corruption, suspected public corruption. This time, the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Virginia, as well as a grand jury, harvesting documents by issuing subpoenas. Puckett says the only reason he was prepared to relinquish this seat was to save his daughter's judicial nominations. The Senate Republican leader, Tommy Norman, said it was unseemly, unethical for the kinswoman of a sitting senator to be installed on the bench. Of course, this has been a practice over in the House for some time, and the Senate really never complained. So I suspect that Senator Norman's interests may have had little to do with awarding a judgeship under the most seemingly ethical conditions, and a lot more to do with tipping, destabilizing the Democratic caucus in the Senate and tipping the Senate to Republican control.
Skullduggery on Capitol Square on a Sunday when the governor's offices were unoccupied and locked. The Capitol Police let some House of Delegates staffers in to drop off a copy of the budget. And now, besides questions about security and separation of powers, politically, the maneuver cost the governor a day to consider his budget options.
Keep in mind, Wayne, keep in mind that the Capitol Police is ultimately accountable to two individuals,
yeah.
The Senate President pro tempore and the Speaker of the House.
Curiously.
Speaker of the House, a Republican, who is not seeing eye to eye with Terry McAuliffe on health care and who is doing everything he can to thwart the governor on this big issue. The idea was to get that budget to the governor as soon as possible, even if it meant somehow, if you will, breaking in to the governor's office, or seemingly breaking into the governor's office on Father's Day, to get that document, at least officially, before the governor, and getting the clock ticking on that seven-day opportunity. That seven-day opportunity is spelled out by law, yeah, for the governor to act on the budget. And of course, we know Governor McAuliffe has tried to use his item veto to strike some of these fresh obstacles to a health care fix. And then the speaker essentially vetoed those vetoes by saying they were out of order. This means that the health care fight is going to move on to yet another plane, the judicial plane. Lots of to-ing and fro-ing over who has powers to do what.
Yeah. The House Republican leadership paid a former Bush administration lawyer $25,000 in state funds to advise on whether the governor has the power to expand Medicaid unilaterally He advised that the governor does not have such power. Well, tell us your take on that.
Yes, you know, no surprise here. You know, you pay a lawyer, he usually tells you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
This is a former high-ranking lawyer in the Bush administration, a solicitor general, essentially the individual that represents the federal government before the Supreme Court. Both sides have been lawyering up on this as the health care fight, as I indicated earlier, moves into this new arena, this judicial arena.
The state's inspector general is looking into the U.S. 460 project, now on hold, if not abandoned. What are the issues there?
Well, if you're Bob McDonnell, the issue is that yet another element of your legacy has been further chipped away. The inspector general saying that this was a risky project from the get-go, that the McDonnell administration was aggressive or extremely aggressive, the inspector general's words, in establishing some schedule for this project, the price tag of which is $1.4 billion. The inspector general pointed out that the state had been warned that the federal government wasn't keen on this project, that it was concerned about certain adverse environmental consequences. Of course, the project is now very much on hold, having been put on ice, in effect, by Terry McAuliffe. And for taxpayers, they're out a lot of money. $250 million have already been spent, and nary an inch of asphalt poured.
And finally, the Libertarian candidate for the state Senate seat of Democrat Mark Warner qualified for the general election ballot.
Yes, and, you know, who's it hurt, who's it helping? Robert Sarvis, the Libertarian candidate, got 6.5% of the statewide vote in the 2013 gubernatorial election. A lot of Virginians weren't quite keen on their major party choices in 2013. Perhaps they will be more comfortable with their alternatives for the U.S. Senate this year. Maybe that means Sarvis is more than a little more than a blip.
Of course, Warner running for re-election, and Ed Gillespie has the Republican nomination.
Roger that.
All right, and we want to remind everyone that shortly, if all goes well, we will have our conversation today published at ideastations.org for folks who want to hear it again. And even though next Friday is a holiday, we expect to get together again, Jeff, for political analysis. Thanks, Jeff.
Have a great weekend.
Support for WCVE comes from the Virginia Repertory Theater presenting the Broadway musical The Color Purple, with a cast of 35, a live band, and a score featuring ragtime, gospel, jazz, and blues, through August 3rd at the November Theater. Details at virginiarep.org. And Bon Secours Sleep Disorders Center, offering testing and treatment solutions for insomnia, sleep apnea, and other sleep-related conditions. Visit goodsleepva.com. Bon Secours Sleep Disorders Centers. Good help for a good night's rest. 88.9 WCVE.
It's Marketplace Tech for Friday, June 27th. I'm Ben.